gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the internet. Here in the basement of the Great Hall of Justice are the most powerful forces for good podcasting ever assembled. This is the DC Superpowers Podcast.
This looks like a job for Superman.
To the Batmobile.
My name is John Jones.
I am the Green Arrow.
Hey, super friends, welcome back to the DC Superpowers Podcast, issue number 70 for New Comic Book Day, August 23rd, 2017. I'm your host, Ken Rose. Sitting along with me here in the basement of Hall of Justice is my good buddy, Vern.
Hello, everybody. How you guys doing tonight?
So, Vern, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. We got a lot of comic books. Jack Kirby's dropping a lot of stuff, and even if it's not Jack Kirby's ideas exactly, or him doing it, we got a lot of things with the New Gods.
Well, there's a lot of stuff, yeah, that Jack Kirby inspired and created coming out. This week was thick with it.
Mm-hmm. If it wasn't a Jack Kirby print like Green Lanterns.
Yeah. Well, we had Hal Jordan, the Green Lantern Corps, has Orion and Omega Beams,
mm-hmm.
although we don't have Darkseid in it. We do have them talking about it.
Where do Omega Beams come from?
Exactly. So we also got Mr. Miracle number 1 of the 12-issue miniseries that's coming out. And we got the Jack Kirby special of the Newsboy Legion and the Boy Commando special number 1. So, and this one was actually a little bit difficult for me to get through.
Same for me, too. The style of writing isn't usually one of the things I go to pick up, so it was a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah, it was a little strange, the book. Like you said, it's just not the normal type of book we usually read.
Because mm-hmm.
this one really didn't have any superheroes in it till the
end. Not at all.
Now, in the last panel, there are.
I didn't get... You know, I was on, like, the last two pages, and then we started doing other things.
Because you see, because the Newsboys Legion themselves, I don't know if we're going to do a full review of this, but the last page of the actual Newsboy...
What you're talking about, that last page.
Where the capes show
yeah.
up.
Yeah. But, now, is that actually... That's the... Yeah, that is. Okay.
That's the Trinity.
And their old-styled...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's nice.
Well, this whole
that's
story
classic.
Takes place back in the 40s.
World War One. Yeah.
World War Two.
Or two. You said one earlier, and I can't remember.
No way.
Nah. Well, anyways, it was the 1940s, guys. That's where it's taking place for Jack Kirby, and we got Mr. Miracle, and also a little bit in Hal Jordan Green Lantern. So we'll be coming back to you guys on that
exactly.
later today.
We also got, later on in our comic reviews, we're actually going to do Superwoman number 13, and we get some actual backstory of where, from Smallville.
Yeah, if anybody was a fan of the Smallville show, that's what it had the tone of.
Yeah, that's what it felt kind of like you were watching an episode of Smallville a little bit.
A little bit.
So, but let's get into the regular news.
Yes.
And, actually, before we do that, we had a movie drop this past week.
We did have a movie. Now, I don't know if you guys
we'll throw
were
this
able
up front, right up in the
it.
Front. Just All get right, done.
Let's get done. Guys, there's a movie that came out, animated movie by, the good men that brought you the Batman animated series.
Exactly. This was actually, I think co-written by, Bruce Timm.
Did Paul Dini have anything to do with this
No,
one?
Not for this one. Other than the fact that he created Harley.
Harley Quinn, right. And this is a Harley Quinn and Batman story. Nightwing's...
Well, yeah, it's called Batman and Harley Quinn.
But Nightwing's in there, too. He's one of those guys that would be
great.
The third wheel that's in the title.
It was great to hear the voices of Kevin Conroy and... who is it that plays Nightwing? I don't remember off the top of my head.
I can't either, but this is his first acting gig. At least voice acting gig.
No, this is the guy who did Nightwing, and this is the guy who was doing it back in the 90s.
No, here's what I'm saying. This is his first Nightwing role. He's... came back for since the 90s.
Oh, okay.
So he hasn't been featured on TV in a while.
Yeah. So what'd you think of it?
I thought it was pretty cool. The best way to describe it, if you were a fan of the show when you were younger, you will like this movie. It basically grew up with you.
Yeah.
Especially if you were a kid watching it. They did have certain moments of the show where you knew when you got older to rewatch it, oh, that was a little innuendo that didn't want to put in there for the kids, but they gave it to the adults so they'll catch it. Kids won't know what the heck's going on. But you watch it again, you're like, oh, I caught that. This one, straight up, middle finger's being flipped off here. There's a sensual scene in there.
Some of the things that were in here, I think we're in here because they had a PG-13 rating. They knew they had a PG-13 rating, so they were going to use it.
And there was fart jokes.
Yeah, well, there was fart jokes. Some of the stuff I think that they put in here felt like they actually they were put in here because they needed extra time.
Yeah, and
some of the comedy was almost forced.
Yeah, you didn't need some of it. But we've been getting that a lot. Seemed like in a couple different comic book movies, or anything animated or just live action. Some of the comedy can be toned down a little bit.
That and there was actually a Harley Quinn dance musical number where she's on stage performing a song.
Yeah,
and that is like that really there wasn't needed other than the fact to see Harley singing on stage.
The only thing about that, to be honest with you, I didn't really care for Harley singing on stage at the time as much as I cared for the first song. The first song had so many callbacks. I forget what the name of it, but when they first walked into the bar.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. When they had the two guys singing.
The two twins, yeah. Now, did you remember any of those characters? They were all background characters in
the
original show.
But I do recognize almost all of them.
Or characters that played teeny roles and they came back like the twins.
All in a, it's all in a bar that is basically the hangout for all the henchmen in Gotham.
Right, and that's exactly what they were. The ones singing were the henchmen for Two-Face when they had the Two-Face episode part two. So I just thought it was cool to see that, but when Harley got on stage and sung, I was like, I know this is her thing, but I don't care for this song right now. But the main villain of this was Poison Ivy and, what was the guy's name,
The Floronic Man.
The Floronic Man,
Jason Woodrue.
When I was talking to Cameron Bros, since he's seen it at the theater, he was saying, Swamp Thing's the villain? I was like, no.
But
and
Swamp
then
Thing
rewatching
it,
he's in it, but he's not the villain. And then he said later on in the movie, he pops up, so I was a little confused who this guy was, saying he's a Swamp...
Well, we had mentioned that earlier, that the Floronic Man was in this. I'm not sure where he comes from, but...
I thought he was a Swamp Thing villain.
This actually, looking here, this was actually... The story was from Bruce Timm, and it was written by Bruce Timm and Jim Krieg.
Okay.
And it was directed by Sam Liu, or Liu, who actually has been doing a lot of the movies recently. I think that he did the... I believe he did the Killing Joke. I don't know if he did the Killing Joke, but I know he did do a couple of the other animated movies so far. I believe he... let me look it up. I got it right here. Justice League versus Titans. He did do the Killing Joke, and he did the Judas Contract. All three of those. He also has done Justice League God and Monsters.
God and Monsters was such a good. To be honest with you, all the movies you just named, that would probably be my top.
Yeah. Well, he also did some work on Green Lantern the animated series, which Vicky loves. That she loves the what was his name, Razor, the Red Lantern. She loved that character.
Oh, okay.
He worked on Beware the Batman.
I did not get into.
He was a primary character designer on Superman Batman Apocalypse. He's been in the works with all this stuff all the time.
I just actually rewatched that over the weekend, not the full thing, but I started watching it.
Yeah. He also worked on for Warner Brothers, All-Star Superman, Superman Batman Public Enemies, a couple of Marvel movies in there. He co-directed Crisis on Two Earths.
Oh, wow.
And Batman Year One.
This guy's got a great lineup.
So this guy's been working with DC and Warner Brothers Animation for years and years and years. Not as much as Bruce Timm, but a lot. Basically, he's in the modern DC animated universe. He's been in a lot of different things. So,
Read this right here.
I just pulled
up something about the Harley Quinn. And
I can't see that from here, so you tell me.
If you want to talk about this, it says some fans online were declaring the scene disrespectful. They feel like Harley might have raped Nightwing in there.
Nightwing eventually said yes.
You also seen his...
Well, he's tied up.
But so it's kind of like he got free at that point. You can't say no to Harley.
It was uncomfortable.
Yeah. What we're talking about here, guys, there was... They hinted to a sex scene in the movie, but we didn't actually see anything. But it was Nightwing and Harley.
You get about as much as you did in with Batman and Batgirl in Killing Joke.
But this one I was okay with because Harley and Nightwing, like, who cares?
Yeah.
But yeah, that happened. So like I said, the movie definitely had a PG-13 rating. You could definitely tell they played with that. But I didn't mind seeing Nightwing without a mullet. Yeah. That was always pleasant to see. It was just kind of goofy. The movie was goofy, but then again, you gotta remember this is Harley Quinn.
Yeah, but the problem is, you get Nightwing can be goofy. Dick Grayson
can be comical.
But when
definitely.
Batman is doing it also.
Yeah.
It was one liner, maybe two is good, but Batman had a little bit more than that. Not a lot more.
No.
They didn't get away from being Batman but towards the end and stuff, he cut a couple of jokes. I was like, dude, that's not Batman. That's not this Batman.
Right. Sometimes in the animated series, he would do a little smarky comment.
But they chose where to put that in there, so it was like an out-of-nowhere type thing.
Right.
Like, wait, did
and
Batman
here,
just say that?
It felt a little bit more forced they're taking a more comical outlook. But overall, I did like the movie. I felt like they put a little too much comedy in there, but not enough where I hated it.
Yeah.
They went a little risky with certain things with the Harley Quinn and Nightwing thing, but once again, didn't mind it. I love seeing Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy back on screen together, and everything from my childhood seems like they grew up with me. Yeah. But it felt like this movie stopped at the high school joking stage and never went past that. That's the only thing I felt about it.
Well, also, with this, it did feel like, for me, it felt like it was, what, an hour and 20 minutes?
Yeah.
It felt like it was like a 45-minute story that they pushed into an hour and 20-minute movie.
Yeah, it was one of those things that could have been on television at just a, oh, we're going to run this for an hour.
Yeah, one-hour movie, cut out some of the jokes, cut out some of the adult humor and stuff that would not have been on TV.
TV, right. And that would have been your TV
as
movie.
As part of the, if the, you put this story into Batman the Animated Series, it'd be a two-parter.
Yeah, yeah,
straight up. The movie form, giving it a little bit of extra stuff, and you can end up with an hour and 20 minutes.
That, as you said, I feel like they did a lot of, a lot, but they did some filler.
But it was fun overall. I'm debating on whether to get the Blu-ray so I can see any of the special features on it.
For me, this is a movie I feel like I need to get the special features more than I do the movie. Just seeing how they did everything and picking from the old show and what they put in here.
Well, what did you think, actually, of the big change with Melissa Rauch as Harley?
When it first came on, I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to like it. But as the movie went, I want to say probably 3 to 5 minutes in, I forgot she was actually doing the role because she really does sound like Harley. And it's one of those, to me, she sounds as much as Harley Quinn as I don't remember the voice actor's name, but the guy that did the Joker, Troy Baker for the origin movie, and the guy that did the Batman, trying to pick a, like Kevin Conroy. They're trying to sound like them, which they do sound like them, but you know it's still not the original voice. Yeah. But I didn't mind it. It was pretty close, and plus with everybody getting older as time goes on, I would not mind her as a replacement Harley Quinn.
Yeah, I don't know why they didn't bring in Tara Strong for this, because Tara Strong did the original Harley, correct?
Not the original, no.
Who was Harley in the series?
Sorkin.
Huh?
Sorkin, let me look at her. No, she was Harley Quinn for years. Tara Strong was the second Harley Quinn voice.
Oh, okay. And that's why I'm trying to figure out why you're looking that up, who the original, but Melissa Rauch, I think what helped was she got the inflection and
oh, there she is, Arlene Sorkin. Yeah, she was actually friends, I want to say, with Paul Dini, and she worked on another show that they were working on, she was working on another show, Days of Our Lives. And in Days of Our Lives, she actually was a Harley Quinn performer for somebody.
Okay.
And he saw her on there and heard her voice, and he was like, man, that would be a good gimmick to put in the show. And so they got her on the show, and that's how Harley Quinn was actually from Days of Our Lives. And then they brought her into the Batman anime series, and he caught on a lot better, so.
Oh, nice. Well, I know Melissa Rauch, what made this work was she got the accent perfect. With Harley, it's that really thick, like, what is it, Brooklyn accent or real close?
I want to say Brooklyn, New Jersey. It's somewhere like uptown New York type. I don't know. It's like Brooklyn accent. Yeah. I guess a Brooklyn
accent. It's like a poor Brooklyn. Like,
you know what?
Someone who grew up on the streets in Brooklyn.
That's
not,
right.
Not someone who grew up as, like, she's a doctor of psychology, technically.
Right. Yeah.
And all this other stuff.
But I'm going to say Brooklyn accent because I forgot the haters online were talking about Margot Robbie's. They said, boy, she sounds like an uptown or Brooklyn girl. It's like, that's what Harley Quinn sounds like.
Yeah, Harley's supposed to sound
right.
Like she's from Brooklyn.
So, I thought she did good. And like I said, also because she sounded like an older Harley Quinn. And because this show came out in the 90s and 92, it's 2017, she sounds a little bit mature.
Mm-hmm.
So, I liked her. I think I liked her better than I do Tara Strong.
Wow. So. Okay. You know, you just saw something. What'd you find?
I thought it said Christopher Lloyd, Arlene was married to. I thought it was the Back to the Future, Christopher Lloyd, but different one. This is a screenwriter.
Okay.
Sorry. I was going to be like, oh, that's pretty cool, but not the same guy. Not the same guy.
Well,
what? I'm just looking at Harley Quinn stuff, guys. Got some news for Batman video games, DC video games. Harley Quinn will be in the Batman Telltale game.
Is that the one that's up right now, The Enemy Within?
Yep.
Okay.
This is going to be on I'm guessing episode 2, since they already put it up, more than likely.
Nice.
At least we got our first look, so she'll be somewhere in this season. I don't know if it'll be the next episode or later down the line, but she will
be. That looks like a more modern version of Harley, too. Well,
yeah.
It's Telltale's version is why.
Mm-hmm.
Telltale does everything a little bit different.
Yeah, they do. But, what would you give the movie?
Out of 10?
Mm-hmm.
Because of the extra stuff, I mean, it was great to see, but 7 is the highest I think I could go on this.
Yeah. I want to say 6.5.
So it's above average?
Yes, above
but it's
average.
It's not fantastic.
Right. I guess between 6.5, somewhere like that. Like I said, wasn't the best, but it was not. You know, I'll give it a 7 too. I was entertaining, brought back some childhood moments, so I'll give it a 7.
Okay. So that's not bad. Like I said, it's worth a watch.
Oh, yeah.
if you get on pay-per-view, something like that, I don't know if it's a buy.
Yeah, well, Cameron, yeah. He's not big into all this stuff, like the comic books, but he did say he loved this movie, or didn't love it. He liked it a lot better than The Killing Joke.
Okay.
He really enjoyed it compared, at least.
Well,
to
that's,
that.
Yeah, with The Killing Joke, it felt like two separate. This was one cohesive story all the way through. The Killing Joke was two stories that they
put into
together.
One movie. Mm hmm.
So, but once again, like The Killing Joke.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is, it seems like these standalone movies so far, out of the last two standalone animated movies they've had was The Killing Joke and Batman and Harley Quinn. Because I got to check out some of the other Batman ones they've put out recently. The last fall they put out the one about Batman Red something or other. It was a standalone one that got by us.
Okay, it did, because I'm like, I don't even remember hearing
standalone
about
that. The last two standalones, it seems like
at least
they're getting,
the
it's
too.
A thin story that they're trying to stretch.
Mm-hmm.
The Killing Joke, it shouldn't have been a thin story, but the way they did it kind of thinned it out to where they had to add something in the front or else they wouldn't have had enough time. This one felt like I said, it felt like a two-part, it would have been great as a two-part TV show,
mm-hmm.
which is a 45-minute format.
Yep.
That they stretched into hour and a half.
Right.
Or hour 20. So.
And if you guys really want to, like I said, if you really just skip the singing in the movie, that will cut out some of the filler. Because
yeah.
that was about, what, 10, 11 minutes
something
right
like
then
that.
There.
Well, that whole thing was they go into the bar to find one of Harley, or one of Ivy's
contacts.
And it's like, in the animated series, it would have been just, they go in, Batman throws them out. Goes in, grabs him, throws him out on
and
the
we
concrete,
still got,
gets the info.
And we still could have got all the different characters, just seen them walk through the ball.
Exactly.
One scene, just pan through the
Everybody
bar.
Hides until Batman gets done.
Or go beat him up. And he beat, well, he beats them up, so.
Yeah, but like I said, it's worth a watch.
Yeah, I would say, guys, give it a watch. Get your own opinion. Definitely get your own opinion. This is our opinion. But go out, watch it. It is fun. It's not going to be disappointing, I don't think. It might be a little long, but it would be a good watch, especially if you're a fan of the original animated series.
Exactly. Going from there, we actually get into a little bit of TV news. Now, there's a lot of the CW shows have been dropping all kinds of news about casting and everything else. We didn't grab any of it this week because we had the movie review and so a couple other things we got to throw in here. But we did get some a little bit more info on Young Justice Season 3 because everybody's so excited about this coming out. Now, we have found out, and we've mentioned on here before, that Arrowette, Tracy 13 and Spoiler have already been announced as new characters for the team. Now, do you know Tracy 13?
That's exactly what I'm looking up.
You're looking
up
her up right
now.
Okay. And also, the one picture I saw looks like we're going to get Bart
or girl,
Allen.
She's also known as Girl 13, and she debuted it in February 2003 in Superman issue 198. Let me go down a little bit long. You can keep going. I'll just give you my quick one.
Well, that actually explains why I've never heard of her yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because I stopped reading comics for a long time in the mid-90s or late 90s, and then I picked it up again at Rebirth.
Okay.
So there was about a 20-year block in there that I really didn't read much.
Well, her and Natasha Irons, Steel's niece, they had a relationship.
Okay.
In the reboot of Rebirth right now. I don't remember seeing her in Rebirth at all, but she's there.
No, that sounds familiar now.
Does it?
You weren't reading Superwoman for a while.
Well, no, I wasn't.
So I remember that now, yeah.
Okay. Well, that was her.
Okay.
And she also has some partnerships with Jaime Reyes, the Blue Beetle, and she is a... From what I'm reading, she should have been a Teen Titan, but she was not a Teen Titan. But she's like a teenage superhero, and I'm trying to find her powers. Her abilities are mystical abilities, which enable her to tap into magic as of a city. Okay, and perform a wide array of magic acts. So she's a magic-based character.
Okay. Well, the big news that came out of here is just like the last two seasons of Young Justice, the Light is going to be your villain.
Mm-hmm.
But in this, they actually have a new leader for the Light. And once again, the TV and animated universe of DC is giving much love to Vandal Savage.
Yes, he is definitely a villain that needs the spotlight on him.
Yeah.
I mean, he can't die for one, so he's been around a long time to be a thorn in the Justice League, Teen Titans, Young Justice, whoever's thorn in their side. Legends of Tomorrow, yeah, I mean... He's everywhere.
Exactly.
Why not?
So he is going to be our main villain, the one in charge of the Light this season. We also looks like Bart Allen, from the one picture of the show here, Bart Allen is no longer Impulse.
No.
Because I believe Impulse was in season 2, right?
Yes.
Because we had Wally as Kid Flash,
right.
And we had Impulse also.
Right, but
well,
because what happened
Allen
to Wally.
Bart Allen is moving up and becoming Kid Flash in this.
Exactly, and that's what happened in the books, too, when... while he became the Flash, it was like, well, we need a kid Flash. And Impulse is like, well, I am related to them. Let me just put on this kid Flash outfit.
The Robin they're going to have in this, are they going to have, is it going to be Tim Drake still? Or are we going to get Damian?
I don't know.
You know what they mentioned? That these are not may not be the only new members of the team.
Mm-hmm.
We saw in the first season, we got Dick Grayson as Robin.
Right.
Second season, we had
Nightwing.
But
we still had a Robin.
Tim Drake.
And we also got a...
They totally skipped Jason Todd, which is fine for this.
Well, they showed his mantle for honorable Young Justice member, which means he was there and died.
Said new members. What's the chance? Well, no, that looking at the drawing, that's not Damian.
No, that's Tim.
That's probably still Tim.
But
it would be sweet if they actually let him move up to Red Robin.
Exactly.
And then Damian as Robin.
We're on the same page. That's what I'm hoping for,
too. That could work as a Young Justice version of a Red Robin costume.
Mm-hmm.
Except for it's only got one R. If it had two R's on the logo, it would be Red Robin.
And I'm just going to say, I'm not the biggest fan of the new Red Robin outfit. That still looks like Robin to me.
Well...
I mean, it looks like his Robin from the 90s.
He's
and
supposed
it was a callback.
To still look like Robin because Tim Drake is Robin no matter how he does
right.
it.
Right. Red Robin, I thought, had a different little style. But anyways, with Young Justice coming back, we're having all these different characters. And it seems like we have a new... Who's Arrowette?
Arrowette? I'm not sure. I think I'm not sure who that is.
Google.
If she doesn't look like it, or else I'd say it could be Emiko.
Oh, her. I've seen her in the comics. I don't really remember her and what she does, but I have seen her in the comics.
Okay. When did she come about? Obviously, she's another one of the
In
Arrow,
the 1960s.
In the 60s?
Yeah.
Oh, did she replace Roy back in the 60s?
There's so much up on her. Hold on. Bonnie King is her name. She's Cassie King-Jones, a version of Arrowette.
Okay.
There's been a couple different ones. She was in the Flashpoint universe, too. I've announced to cast Arrowette in Young Justice and officially announced. Yeah, we'll get back to you guys. I'll get back to you guys. And there's a couple different things I need to read up on here.
Yeah. So out of the three new characters, spoilers, the only one we actually know.
No, yeah. So.
So, but that's going to be pretty cool.
We'll find out in the new season.
Next, we're moving on to the movie news. And David Sandberg is talking for Shazam again.
Yes, and how he's diving in even deeper for his research.
Exactly. Let me read through the Sandberg was being interviewed about Shazam, and it seems that he's been doing a little bit of extra research and reading every issue or doing his research and reading every single issue he can get his hands on in preparation for his film about the Earth's Mightiest Mortal.
Mm.
Now, I'm wondering, does that mean he's going to Comixology, too? Because Comixology, you can go way back and get stuff.
As I said before, I'm pretty sure also Warner Bros. And DC Comics are giving these guys books in their vault saying, hey, read this.
Well,
look
no, I guarantee
it.
They're not handing them physical copies. They're probably sending emails to their iPods or iPads.
I even like the girls playing Raven now for... the new Teen Titans show or Titans show. She's doing her research. This director's doing his research.
Well, he handed
too.
Her some trades, so.
Mm-hmm.
What this here, he says, he's being a little cryptic about which run of the comics he's actually going to draw direct inspiration from.
I think he should do all of them.
Yeah, well, Sandberg says, I'm just taking it all in. Some of those really old ones are quite fun.
Mm-hmm.
When he's, like, fighting Hitler and stuff like that. He's been around since the 40s. For like as long as Superman, so there's a lot to read.
Yes, there is.
Now he also says that since there's such a wide variety of stories to call from, he said, and that's also interesting because he sort of has a couple different origin stories. he has a couple different origin stories and a couple different takes on his origin story. There's the most recent, which is the Geoff Johns version of it. Then you have the Jerry Ordway version, which is from the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
It's Power Shazam, which I loved that book. I read that for a long time. And then there's actually the third type of origin that came from the really old stories.
Right.
So which one are you more or know more about?
Personally, I know more about what they just put out. But me, from what I've read...
What was the Geoff Johns origin? Did it change much from the other one?
I think the Geoff Johns origin was the New 52.
Well, yeah, but...
They change with time.
Okay.
Like with the time of 2000, whatever it was, 2011.
But still basically, Billy
all
Batson
the same.
Gets pulled into the, kind of, the Jerry Ordway one was, He was in a subway tunnel and got lost and found the cave where the wizard was.
That's my favorite one.
Yeah. Have you actually read Power Shazam at all?
No, I've been on YouTube. I'll put it to you that way.
When you get done with the stack that I've already given you,
yes,
I have Power Shazam at home, the original trade.
I need that.
And it's all painted.
I need that. I was going to say, the way the new adaptation of Shazam was from, I think, Geoff Johns' run, he was a little bit more, he was too millennial. Just personally. But he still had the pure heart, but sometimes he would become more of like a bratty kid, in my opinion. Yeah. Like I say, he wasn't my favorite run on him. And then they tried to put in more of like a child. He wasn't a child no more. He was a teenager, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
That attitude I didn't like. It felt more like the Jason Todd Robin than the Dick Grayson Robin, how people would complain about that.
Yes.
That's how I feel about the new one. So my favorite one would be the Jerry Ordway.
Cool. Well, this sounds awesome. And actually, what I'm getting, and I hope the all of our super friends out there, and you are hearing this in the way Dave Sandberg is talking about this, that this is going to be a fun movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking to put fun into this movie by the way he's talking about this and how all these different stories are fantastic. And you take little bits about each of them and bring the fun to DC Comics movies.
And that's what I was going to say. I know it might sound like I was complaining about the new one. It was just the way they did it, but they still had a lot of moments where you would laugh.
Yeah.
Like some things he would do as Shazam, Captain Marvel. It's like, wait a minute, you're an adult, right? And it's like, yeah, yeah. And it's just some things he would say. See, it's like, that sounds like a young person.
I wouldn't mind seeing the Captain Marvel that we actually saw in Young Justice.
Yeah,
that was probably a great character, because in that one, no one knew, even the Justice League, Young Justice, none of them knew his secret identity.
But because he was a child,
so when he was able to switch back
him.
And forth, they're like, wait a minute, you're Captain Marvel?
Mm-hmm.
Captain Marvel, you're a kid?
Right. That version and the one that they had on the Black Adam Returns DVD with Superman and Shazam and Captain Marvel, those are probably my best two favorite on-screen versions I've seen so far.
But then we go from there to Ben Affleck has been talking about Batman a little more. Saying that we're going to see a more traditional Batman in Justice League.
Yeah, because everybody knows when he did the Batman versus Superman, that to me, he was the closest thing we had to a comic version, best comic version of Batman. But some things he did, they departed a little bit from, as in this article, they depart a little bit from traditional Batman in Batman versus Superman. He has started out with all the rage and directed of the Superman, because the co-workers who had died in the fight Superman had with Zod, he was holding a lot of anger in a little bit of
irrational way.
Where this is much more of a traditional Batman. He's more heroic this time. He does things his own way, but he wants to save people and help people. This is more keeping with the canon of how Batman usually has been portrayed and how he's portrayed in the Justice League comics. This is more of what Batman you find open up into your average Batman comic book.
Yeah, and actually, the way he's talking about it there, it sounds like what it is they're going for more the rebirth Batman.
Because
Batman and Rebirth right now, remember, is still Batman.
But
it's like the way I think we said it back when Rebirth started was it's Batman with a heart.
Yes. And that's what I think they're going to do in this movie. And plus the way, like you say, he's talking about in here, also what he's talked like at Comic-Con, where we're seeing in the trailers.
Yeah.
And because, as we said, when we Rebirth, it seems like we're seeing a little bit of like a Gal Gadot Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
We're seeing a little bit of like a Ben Affleck Batman. And if after seeing the Wonder Woman movie is actually going back and forth with the way they're stylizing the comic books, there's no reason that makes me not think that Batman Ben Affleck wouldn't be the same what's going on in Rebirth currently.
Okay. Well, he had a couple more things to say here, too.
He also said, not that it's average. I think that it's all really cool story. Actually, a short story about, materialism. It's not a
multilateralism.
Thank you. That word. It's not a bad theme to have. He's put the position he's have to reach out to find the others, convincing them to do something. Part of the drama of this movie is the question of whether or not the team is going to come together, just like the song says in the trailer. It's very different from the tenure of the last movie.
And once again, he says come together. I still want to know who's number 7.
I still
because
do too.
The original marketing for this movie was Unite the Seven.
And
there's only ever been 6 announced for this movie.
Well,
because we already know Superman is in this movie. He's been in the marketing materials. He's everywhere else. We know we have Batman, Wonder Woman, Superman, Cyborg, Flash, and Aquaman. Who's number 7?
But here's the thing that they were doing when they first thought of this whole idea of this Justice League movie. from what I saw, they were directly ripping off of what they did in the Justice League New 52 Volume 1 comic or trade. That was just them finding Darkseid. And the original seven in there were everyone you remember from Justice League, except they replaced Cyborg with Martian Manhunter. Mm-hmm. And Green Lantern was a part of that. But now that they're taking a little bit of a different route and everything that happened with Rebirth, what's going on with the Wonder Woman movie, the backlash that they did have from Batman vs. Superman, I still think they're going to put Green Lantern in there, but they're like, let's not push everything.
Yeah.
Let's give everyone a treat. I'm going to go back to Marvel for a little bit. When they first made the Avengers, there were six of them, but they left out some of the original team members with Wasp and Ant-Man, but we're finally getting them movies down the line.
Which is filming at the moment.
Exactly, but they gave them a little taste. They didn't give you everything. If they're making this Justice League and they're going to do another Justice League movie, I'd be fine with them even not just adding in Green Lantern as the main Justice League member, or he can be a main Justice League member, but we can get other characters in the movie as well.
Yeah.
So, we in time, we'll see the seven, and I still think it's going to be Green Lantern. It's just going to be a couple movies before we get him.
We know we're going to get Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
The question is,
which one?
I don't know. Well, we know we're getting two, at least right now.
But who's going to be in
the Justice
League?
We're going to be getting Hal Jordan, and I think if they're going to put it, if they're going to have Green Lantern in Justice League, I think it's going to be Hal Jordan.
It should be Hal Jordan.
The Green Lantern Corps movie we're getting, they keep describing as a buddy cop movie
mm-hmm.
of Hal Jordan and
John Stewart,
but John Stewart is the rookie cop learning what he's doing. So I'm assuming at this point with the Justice League movie, he may not be a Lantern yet.
And from what I read when I seen the cartoons and the comic books, it's really hard for me to see him as the rookie. I see him more as the leader. As I said, out mm-hmm. of all four Green Lanterns, I can see him more as a guardian than anyone else.
Yeah. Well, that's in the books right now. He's leader of the Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah. I mean, Hal is always going to be, to me, the best or top Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
But as a leader goes, he is not no John Stewart.
Yeah.
But
that's all for the movie news at the moment. We actually have a lot of comic news this week.
Yeah, we do.
Starting off with, this kind of ties into TV, too, though.
Kind of what's going on.
Because we know for the mid-season mid-season start, that we're getting a half season for Black Lightning this season.
Yeah.
Now, DC Comics sees this and is giving Black Lightning his new another book now.
And if you guys know us and Ken talking to you too, there have been since the shows and Rebirth came out, everything has been tied somewhere. It's like, we've seen him. That's what we're gonna see him in books. Or if we read a comic book, we're gonna see him on TV in a little bit.
Well, what it is DC. Marvel, when they first started doing movies, especially you talk Iron Man.
Mm-hmm.
Iron Man, for a long time, was seen by a lot of people as a B or C-list character.
Yeah. I remember me and my friend had this conversation on the phone. He knew about Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman. He's like, that's a trendy. He's like, why are we seeing these new characters like Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor?
Captain America has always been on top at Marvel. Captain America and Spidey.
But see, he was a TV watcher and film watcher. He's like, they never made movies. Every time they did, they were corny, but they cared more, seemed like the Hulk, Wolverine, and Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. So he's like, he never knew anything about the whole Iron Man thing, but once they started redoing it.
Yeah, you hit the Iron Man movie, and all of a sudden, Iron Man's selling books again.
Exactly, and now they're also copying what they're doing in the movies
mm-hmm.
In the comic books.
Well, DC has figured this out, too. Like, if you put a hero or a comic book out there of something that people are seeing on TV, they know what this is now.
Mm-hmm. And this draws in more mm-hmm. revenue. I think DC's doing it better, though.
Well, we know that Jefferson Pierce is having a great year, it says. But he's got his new show coming to the CW. But DC has just announced a new six-part miniseries by Tony Isabella, who is the original creator of Black Lightning with Trevor Von Eden. And so Tony Isabella is back making Black Lightning again. They've changed a couple things, but...
And by the way, guys, the picture that I'm going to try to put them on either Twitter or Instagram.
Oh, yeah. Well, we got... The title is going to be Black Lightning, Cold Dead Hands, written by Isabella and drawn by Clayton Henry, who's people might know from Harbinger. Now, this is not actually a throwback to Isabella's original work on the character. While a lot of the hallmarks of a good Black Lightning comic are there, Jefferson has gone through some changes. He's still a teacher who works to be a positive influence for his students, both in and out of the costume. But he's younger than he's ever been before. He's around 28 years old. He's also not married and doesn't have any kids yet.
I thought it was a little I thought he was around that age when he first. Anyways, sorry. I don't know. I thought he was young when he first started.
Well, you
got to
remember, in the TV series we got coming, he's in his late 40s.
Right.
With one kid in high school and one in college.
Right.
So he's not been married, and he doesn't have any kids yet.
This is now the old school Black Lightning.
Another one that we found out, remember, Tobias Whale is going to be the leader of the 100 in the TV series.
Right.
Well, Whale is actually the villain in this also, but they've made some changes to him as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's now he's actually fit, built like an athlete, and he's no longer an albino. But don't think it's made Tobias Whale any smaller of a problem for Jefferson or the city of Cleveland.
Woo, Cleveland!
So in this one, they are based in Cleveland,
hey,
Ohio.
That's what, about 20 minutes away from us?
About a half hour.
20, 30 minutes, depending on how fast you drive.
But he's as ruthless and powerful as ever. And seeing the pictures, Whale looks huge in this. Imagine a black kingpin, basically.
Hey, yeah. Well, hey, he is Daredevil. It was in Daredevil. Michael Clark Duncan?
Yeah, Michael Clark Duncan.
I think if he was still alive, they probably would have asked him, to be honest, to play the role in the first
place. They could have, yeah. Well, the Black Lightning CW series is set to bring more awareness to the groundbreaking character than ever before.
Mm.
And the timing has never been better for Black Lightning to return to the DC universe. Cold Dead Hands promises to be a fitting introduction to the world of Jefferson Pierce for new readers and a very welcome return for longtime fans. Written by the man who knows the supercharged hero better than anyone. Let me get through some of this. Now, this is funny because they got a lot of the pencil sketches for the different different panels for the book, and it looks awesome so far.
Yeah, I'm just, like, really studying these things now. That's on a
As you're studying, I'm trying to get through to get to the rest of this, the little bit of this left of this article.
Oh, that's nice.
But there we go. Now, they actually do have a solicit for the comic, because the comic actually comes out November 1st, 2017. Now, November's got a lot of premiere books coming out that we've seen. October, November this year.
A lot of new stuff coming out.
But the solicit for this is Black Lightning, Cold Dead Hands number 1, written by Tony Isabella. The art and cover done by Clayton Henry and variant cover done by Ken Lashley says it's an all-new miniseries by original creator Tony Isabella, teamed with superstar artist Clayton Henry. Black Lightning is back and things are not the same. In his hometown of Cleveland, high school teacher Jefferson Pierce is a role model for his students. As Black Lightning, he's fighting to keep them safe, even as his streets are invaded by local gangs with super weapons. And wait until you see who their supplier is. Real world issues in a superhero world. Expect the unexpected. On sale November 1st. It's 32 pages. It's part 1 of 6 at $4 price point. So, and it is rated T.
Nice. I just wanted to look at his history. Originally, he was from Metropolis.
Okay.
So I don't. Mind
and I don't remember.
Now in Cleveland,
technically
wasn't Metropolis. Cleveland was a. Cleveland's the idea of how they came
Cleveland
up with
Metropolis,
Cleveland
was the
original
Metropolis.
Okay, so...
Because what...
Still, he's going to be in the
Siegel
same
and
place.
Schuster were from...
From Cleveland, Ohio. Yeah, when
yeah.
they made Superman. So technically,
and
he's
actually,
still
the
in the same place.
If you look at the outline of the skyline, if I remember right, in the original Superman books back in the 30s, it was very similar to the Cleveland skyline at that time.
So, still, so, he's going back to his
that's
real
another
home.
One. Now, we are probably the last one in the world to realize this, but going to Krypton for a minute, what I told you about... It never dawned on me.
Yeah,
Segel, who is the main character of the new Krypton TV show, if you put the Segel together, you get Siegel.
Mm-hmm. Now, who would have thought that was a good little hint Easter egg? I guess
yeah.
if we're fans out there, can put that together. I haven't heard too much about that online either. Krypton, it's been a little hush hush since.
Yeah, well,
Comic-Con.
We're not sure when it's coming out. I know it's coming 2018, so it may be. Maybe January, February?
And I had a question, too, since we were on that topic real quick. I understand that what's going on in the Arrowverse, we call it. They're not connected to movies.
No.
But this movie is connected.
This, what, the...
Or the movie. This show is supposed to be
maybe.
Connected to
well, no.
the Man of Steel.
It's weird. It looks like it's in the Man of Steel universe, but it's not actually
a
part of
anymore.
The Man of Steel.
Mm, okay. Wasn't that the pitch
officially.
They were doing when they first came out of this whole idea?
I think a lot of us were thinking it might be. Because David Goyer was writing and developing this.
And that
he
was
actually wrote Man of Steel.
I see.
And it does look like it's in the Man of Steel universe.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess we'll figure out more when the show comes
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
I was going to say, do you think after they did do that, if that is what's happening or not, if it is, do you think that they might start doing that to other shows and try saying, hey, this is connected?
I don't know. I have no
I'm
idea.
I'm still curious about what's going to go on with The Flash when he comes out in Justice League.
Yeah.
After the season, what's going on? Then we'll see what happens in the Flash movie.
How well, long Flash is movie the show being going to happen? I don't know what the is going on with it. It's weird. We don't know. We'll find out here in another year or two.
Yeah.
But still talking movies, this time movies crossing over with comic books even more.
Mm-hmm.
We're finding that Tim Burton's Joker, Jack Napier,
yep,
is coming to Batman the White Knight.
Yeah, now this is, when they say coming to the White Knight, I don't think it's going to be the exact same, but he is getting a lot of illustration and creative idea from the, Jack Kirby, from Jack Nicholson Joker. In the upcoming miniseries, Batman White Knight is being written and illustrated by Sean Murphy. Batman will become a villain while the Joker is cured of all of his insanity and becomes a hero himself. Murphy recently got the approval from Warner Brothers that he can use the name Jack Napier for those who remember him from the Joker. He's now cured, and fans will definitely recognize the name from Jack Nicholson's Joker in the 1989 film, The Batman.
It's not The Batman. It was just Batman.
True. True.
The Batman is the one that's in the works right now.
Is it still? Do we know if that's actually called? Is it really The Batman?
As of right now, that's what it's called.
All right. In a recent interview, Murphy did say the main goal was to undo the comic tropes while changing Gotham for the comic book city into a real city, a city dealing with everything to do with Black Lives Matter to the growing wage gap.
Wage gap.
Wage gap. Thank you. But rather than write a comic book about a why can I work? Get that out. Wage gap. I gave those ideas to the Joker, who can lead this kind of media and war against Gotham's elite by winning people over with his potent observations and
rhetoric.
Now, I like how he said media, because remember, every time we see Joker in a movie, he has some type of film he's doing, some type of TV, a phone. Well, he's on a screen somewhere.
Jack Nicholson Joker, remember, he was actually winning the popular vote in Gotham with that big parade. He was planning on killing everybody.
I forgot about that. He did win the popular vote.
Doing the parade and putting it on, he put it right on TV. Hey, come out, check out the parade. I'm going to dump $1 million on the city.
Mm-hmm.
He used the media.
Yeah, and like I said, even he didn't win the popular vote, but even in The Dark Knight, he was using the screen of the media to get everybody to watch him and see all the maniacal stuff he's doing in the cartoons, the animated series of Batman.
Oh, he was always on TV
exactly.
In the animated series.
Several different ones. I'm trying to remember the others. But every time I see Joker on screen and in the comic books, he's projecting himself on TV.
Exactly.
So if he can get the media to go into war against Gotham, perfect. So I'm definitely going to be intrigued by this series.
Exactly. Also, well, there's more down. He also... who is it? Sean Murphy also went on to say that we know the Joker's a genius. We know he's ruthless or relentless. We know he can play the crowd. So why not make him a politician?
Hmm.
Why not strip away the psychosis, the thing that's holding him back, and let him challenge Batman unimpeded? And to make it even scarier, what if he did it legally and without breaking any rules? So that Batman can't stop him.
Right. Also, he says, seeing Gotham for the first time with clear eyes, his psychosis is now cured. He starts to understand absurdity of the vigilanteism and how Batman's actions are only contributing to Gotham's endless crime cycle. Joker now sets out to be Batman, and becoming the White Knight that Gotham really needs. Every time I keep hearing this White Knight, I keep remembering him trying to get Two-Face to be that before he became Two-Face. Harvey Dent was supposed to be the White Knight.
Yeah.
But now it's Joker.
Well, we'll find out a whole lot more come October 4th.
And I'm also saying this picture we got here, guys, I can post this one too. It's a Harley Quinn in this picture with a gun, a fake toy gun with the letter coming out when she shoots it saying, "Why don't you love me?" So I guess he gave up on Harley once he became...
Well, she's still crazy probably,
yeah.
So...
At first, I thought Harley might have been the one to cure him of his sickness. I thought that for a second. But now that I'm seeing
she tried,
image,
and he drove
work.
Her crazy.
Yeah. So now she needs some help. But can't wait for this to come out. October
4th. Exactly. It's going
to
be good stuff. October 4th. Check it out on all your comic book racks. The next one...
Oh, yeah.
I figured you're not going to let me get a word in edgewise on this one.
Now, guys, as we've been seeing, a lot of these characters have been coming back, haven't they?
Gone, the form of man.
And I didn't realize that he was a Jack Kirby creation, too.
Yeah.
Well, another one of Jack Kirby's coming back, as Ken said, gone.
Gone, the form of man, in its
now
place, Etrigan.
Mm-hmm. or Born Again Etrigan, something like that. Anyways, Jason Blood is coming back, guys, as Etrigan, having this complicated relationship that he does have with Etrigan and Jason Blood being one in one body. It's one of the most exciting new miniseries by writer Andrew Constant. He also did Tron, or, yeah.
Tron?
Tron, sorry.
Wait,
Torn. If anybody, what's Torn? What was that, DC?
I don't know.
We'll look that up in a little bit. And the art team of Brett Walker and Andrew Hennessy, both of Aquaman fame, promised to explore the death set amid the heart of the Death Valley. Jason Blood has returned, or has retired from the life he has chosen to lock away Etrigan forever, never to unleash the wrath and destruction of the demon again. But when a nuclear bomb hits California desert, it cracks the very foundation of Earth. And from that crack, hell is emerging.
Ah.
The writer here says, I was excited to work on a great, slightly lesser exposed Kirby character, reveals Walker. As I've gotten into Andrew's script, I've been having fun doing something totally different than books I've worked on in the past. It's fun tapping into a moody, darker aspect of my art. It has a bit of the Virgo vibe to it. It might be a side of me people don't know, or side of me people do know, but it's stuff I am not a fan of. Just as much as I'm a big bombastic superhero stuff. The Demon Hell is Earth is a large-scale, thrilling mix of action and terror featuring tense, conflicted relationships of a brutal kinetic combat with no less than the fate of the world at stake. Because in the world of Etrigan, the demon war is literally hell. And these pictures that go on, guys, you can definitely see there's like these spawns from hell coming up attacking a female.
Yeah.
And because Jason Blood can control Etrigan when they are together.
Sometimes.
Most of the time, as long as he's
as long as their goals are aligned, Etrigan will do whatever he wants.
Well, if our... Was this in here that I read that, or did I hear that somewhere else? I thought, now I might not be thinking or seeing this here, but I thought Etrigan likes to destroy. He likes to cause havoc. But Jason Blood likes to save people. So when he comes out, it's kind of like, hey, we can wreak havoc on the bad guys, and I can put you away when you need to go away, and you can sleep for a little bit. But from these images, guys, I'm going to post these. These look great. This definitely has a Kirby style to it, even with his shoes. You see his little... Flip, flop, flop.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy to see this. Once again, as I said, anything that has a Dark Justice League theme to it, I will buy it.
And oh,
just
yeah.
Just give it to me. Take my money. And this will be released in November. Once again, November 15th, and it will be a $2.99. So I'm guessing this is going to be a bi-weekly series.
Yeah. This one says it's, once again, a six-part series because it says on the bottom they're 1 of 6.
Okay.
So.
Short, but sweet.
Yeah. Well, they're doing that a lot of these, and I'm wondering if some of these aren't just a test run to see whether or not they want to actually put them into the rebirth.
And honestly, isn't that what's happened with the Hanna-Barbera stuff? Some of the things we got...
Some of it has been, yeah.
And now we're getting more of it.
I think Flintstones finally finished their run.
Mm-hmm.
Who was still running for a while?
Scooby...
Actually, that's the one. Scooby-Doo Apocalypse is the only one that's still actually running right now.
And he's actually got two titles. He's got his own Scooby-Doo Where Are You?
No, there's
and
more than that.
The
there's Scooby-Doo Where Are You, Scooby-Doo Team Up,
and then Scooby-Doo Apocalypse.
But... Also in Hanna-Barbera, I don't have any major details about this right now, but we do have DC All Access actually announced we are getting a Jetsons book coming out soon, and it's done by Jimmy Palmiotti and Piero Brito, and it features cover art by Amanda Connor.
Nice, and Amanda Connor has been a staple in DC for a while.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jimmy Palmiotti and Amanda Connor, I believe they're married, if I remember right.
Oh, are they? Okay.
That's why a lot of times you'll see them working together on books.
They
together have been doing Harley for a long time.
That makes a lot more sense now. Okay.
Yeah.
But the best way I can put it, it seems like they're grabbing a little bit from what they're doing in Scooby-Doo with the art style. They're taking like a new modern take on it. And
well, yeah, or the Flintstones that they just did. It's basically, this is a Hanna-Barbera Beyond title.
The thing about the Flintstones, they still, to me, look like... Their outfits, I guess, is what I'm saying. They still look like what they had in the Flintstone series of the show. But these, they look like they're giving it a little different adaptation on it, a little bit of different spin on it.
Okay.
But I'll be buying this, too. Most of the Hanna-Barbera stuff I've enjoyed. Even though I'll collect every single one, I did enjoy it for quite a while, but I had to stop buying it because of money issues.
Yeah.
But they were all good. I haven't seen one bad Hanna-Barbera takeoff so far in the comic books.
Well, we got one more story here before we get into our reviews. And this is Scott Snyder has actually been sitting down and talking and letting the world know who is Barbados.
Yeah, we were having now, the same question when
we
first opened
this
book.
When I first saw the title for this, or the thing for this article, I said the same thing. I've never heard, what is a Barbados?
But we did see this picture, and we were like, what is this big bad?
This is actually the big bad for Dark Knight's metal. And Russ Burlingame from comicbook.com actually had a sit-down interview with Scott Snyder about the recently released Dark Knight's metal, which I have on my digital. And as of this Wednesday, I'll actually, because my comic shop, Kenmore, actually got shorted by half of their Dark Knight's metal books.
Wow.
So the rest are coming in this week, so I have one on hold waiting for me.
Well, I just opened mine up in the mail. I didn't open the actual comic book,
but
I don't want
to
spoil anything for me
yet
until we got through this week's reviews, then I'll read it. But
we will be doing a full review of it for next week, though.
Oh, yeah. Did you think they gave you the variant cover or not? Because I couldn't
get
my variant cover.
We'll find out. I'll find out when I get there tomorrow
what
John has for me. But when now the about Dark Knight's metal, where the big bad, we know that now. Some of the things Snyder said in this interview was that Snyder resurrected the character from a Batman story done by Peter Milligan. According to Snyder, one of my favorite stories is Dark Knight, Dark City by Peter Milligan. It imagines that many years ago in colonial times, a group of Gothamites tried to summon a bat demon called Barbados. The mystery in the present involves the Riddler, who runs Batman through a gauntlet of weird cases, all to secretly treat him with the substance and ritualistic materials needed to open a gateway to let Barbados in again. In the end, we're left unsure whether Barbados is a real force in Gotham's history and in Batman's own construction. Recently, Grant Morrison touched on this story with his creation of Dr. Hurt, the journey of the hyper adapter. All things will be building on in metal to make Barbados a villain like nothing you've ever seen before. Now, in Dark Knight's metal, the evil versions of the Dark Knight are coming to terrorize Earth. The 7 one-shot comic tie-ins, the 7 one-shot comics that tie into the event are on the horizon, each spotlighting a different corrupted version of Batman spawned from the Dark Multiverse.
Okay.
Now, Snyder went on to describe this a little bit. I wanted to create something that would remind you of the kid joy you felt when you went to the comic shop and you picked up something that was your summer event, right? It's stressful times, regardless of what side you're on, regardless of your political beliefs. I think that right now we are exhausted by the news every day, and I wanted to make something that would be pretty earth-shaking in its consequences and have big effects and change the DC in an important way and be in continuity, but also feel like when you pick it up, it's so immersive and crazy and reminds you of all the things you love about our characters. Why they're aspirational, and also introduces you to a brand new concepts, brand new territories, brand new characters, all that stuff. That was the goal, so I wanted you to pick it up and be like, I am unleashing my inner rock god this summer and just going to the best rock out concert I have ever gone to with the characters I love the most. So then they go on to say that as DC has a long history of pulling from the past, or from its past, as Johns has done many times throughout the years, it only makes sense that Scott Snyder would direct or decide to do exactly the same thing, as he is taking exactly from what he liked from the series and the characters. So, and we know Dark Knight's Metal number 1 came out already. The one shots are right on the horizon. We got actually from DC. We got the previews for the first couple of one shots that I'm going to have you put up on our Instagram.
Okay.
So, and I showed you where those are at already. So,
yeah.
We have the Red Death is on there. What was the Cyborg version?
I forget.
He's on there also.
Yeah.
So we'll have to put those up so everybody can see them. Dark Knight's Metal looks to be a lot of fun, and that's what Scott Snyder is saying too.
And it should be definitely.
So, but that brings us to the end of our stories for today.
Yeah, we had a pretty good amount here.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff there. That brings us actually into our reviews. So we're going to start off with Superwoman number 13.
Let me pull that up on the dock.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you don't have your physical copy of it here, do you?
I do not. It's not one I pick up every week, but because we have this, they've been showing some pretty good
stuff.
Yeah,
Superwoman has been doing some really good stuff.
Yeah.
Now, we did mention last week that it looked like Lex Luthor was coming to Superwoman.
Right.
Which
well,
he is.
Mm-hmm.
In the modern times and in the past.
Yes, it's a bit of a prequel they're going back here.
So, first thing we get is the Smallville, Kansas sign going up in flames. And remember, this whole story is basically, this is the story of Superwoman, Lana Lang. But this
and
is...
And an old friend of hers.
Well, yes. But Superwoman itself is about Lana Lang, Superwoman. Mm-hmm. Now, it talks about how ever since she was a kid, Smallville's been her home, her sanctuary. She knew Smallville was home, had many special people, and with many special talents to protect it. And she... now, moving past that, a lot of this is her inner monologue. You see her, Superwoman, and a flaming guy behind her that looks like he's from Krypton also, possibly.
Right. But, well, we'll get more into that as
yeah.
this little prequel goes on.
Now, we have someone off the side, because these two are smashing things around Smallville. And she said she never thought she would be the one to destroy, to beat on Smallville. Well, someone says from behind, enough, Superwoman, remember yourself, your morals... This is not who you are. And here it's Lex Luthor trying to stop these two from destroying the city. So, and they're trying to stop. She's not hearing anything of it. And it looks like she's actually being controlled. And you find out she's actually being controlled by
Red
Kryptonite.
Kryptonite.
Which is interesting that she's not Kryptonian.
Right.
But I think it's because her powers
power
are
DNA.
Kryptonian.
Mm-hmm.
That's that still affects her. Then we get to a flashback.
And this goes back to when, long ago, in Smallville, when Clark Kent was even a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Lana was getting ready for school, and he basically flies up to her window and, hey, hurry up, we're going to miss school, the bus again. So he tries to get her to hurry up and come out, and she's saying you shouldn't be using your powers like that, but he just thinks it's funny and laughs it off.
Yeah, he's like, oh, no one's going to see me, it's too early in the morning.
Mm-hmm. And he knows she wouldn't rat him out anyway.
Exactly. So they're, once they do finally get to school, Clark is helping one of the teachers carry her books into school. This guy, one of the kids from school, actually comes up riding his motorcycle all loud and
leather
not
jacket.
Running correctly. He's obviously the bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
Then behind Lana, there's someone with red hair dressed in the perfect, like,
Nerd sweater.
Vest.
Yeah.
And
a tie and just... He looks like one of the smart kids.
You find out that's Lex Luthor.
Yes.
He went to school in this version, as of right now, Lex Luthor did go to school with Clark Kent.
With hair.
And Lana Lang.
With hair.
And he still has his hair, yes. But, Lex is yelling at the guy with the motorcycle how it's a monstrosity. And, Lana's like, it gets under her skin that Lex treats people this way.
Mm-hmm.
And then Clark's like, Amos is the guy on the bike, and Clark's wondering, is like, why is she defending this Amos guy?
Yeah.
Because Clark's in love with Lana, he always has been.
Oh, mm-hmm.
This is not unknown to all of us.
And this is back when they were in high school, so this is definitely when their love was flaming at
mm-hmm.
the time.
Well, we find, then we move to science class, and Lex is actually the teaching assistant for the teacher.
Of course he is.
Because he's the smartest, almost the smartest kid in the class. And, of course, Lana is arguing chemistry with him,
mm-hmm.
which Lana, remember in this one, Lana is a, in the future, is a physicist or a chemist and an engineer and stuff. She is extremely, extremely smart. So they're talking back and forth, arguing. The teacher eventually gives them both detention for this.
Yeah, and this one they shut up. I don't know why I would like to watch me do it, bucko.
Uh-huh. And then you get, in gym class, Lana tells Clark that she has detention, basically. And he's like, oh, wait. You mean you can't come? We can't ride home after school? So Clark goes in and proceeds to get himself given detention so
yes.
that he can spend time in detention with Lana.
Oh, ain't that cute.
Exactly.
He does in the most corniest way, too. He doesn't even know how to be a bad boy.
Yeah.
So he basically just insulted a teacher of what
well,
she
no.
likes.
He insulted
Shakespeare.
Shakespeare,
yeah.
And got a detention for it.
She's like, how dare you? Detention! He's like, yes, thank you. Who says thank you to get detention?
Exactly.
But once he gets in detention, all he sees is just Lex Luthor.
Yeah,
no
where's
Lana?
Lana?
And then Lex,
go ahead.
I just like how Lex basically calls him out. Kent, you know, he knows you're a good boy. He knows the only reason he got detention. He heard in the teacher's lounge he talked about Shakespeare. He says only a goody-goody two-shoes like you would do that to get detention so you can spend time with your lovely Lana. Uh-huh. Everybody knows you are in love with that girl. And then this is where we see Lana outside. She was actually trying to... She was running late already for detention. I don't know why she was running late. But she does run into... Oh, man, what's that kid's name? Amos. And he's basically telling her, oh, you don't need detention. You're already in trouble, so you don't even got to go to that anyway. What's the point? She's like, well, when you put it like that.
Exactly. So they go for a ride on his bike, because she had already told him how to fix his bike so because it was running so rough.
Mm-hmm. Her going into engineering, mm-hmm. of course, she would be good in the field like that. So as they're driving, he says, you know what? How about I let you drive, and you take the, steering, I guess, because he's not already taking the wheel.
Exactly.
And she says, I feel so free, so alive. And he's like, slow down. She's like, no, go faster. She hits something, or the wheel just flips over. And
she loses control, basically.
Yeah, and they're going to go crash, but instead, Superboy, I'm going to call him Superboy at this
time. Well, no, it's still Clark at this point, because there was no Superboy.
But he was Superboy.
I know.
but Clark goes in and grabs her before they have a complete crash, but lets him just get stuck on the ground with the motorcycle on top of him. And he's out of it, but he still knows that something was weird. He's like, who are you?
Yeah,
what's going on here? He knows something's up with Clark Kent. And as as Clark gets Lana, they head back somewhere in the fields, and he's saying you shouldn't be hanging out with a guy like him. I don't even like the guy, and mm-hmm. Clark's a lovable guy. There's no one he doesn't like. And she says, you know, of all this weird things have been going on for months and months, it seems like after that time I told you that I had a crush on you, you got weird about it, and it seemed like you moved on. And he says, maybe I didn't move on. Maybe I'm just weird and don't understand how to fine, maybe I'm jealous and I don't like that guy anymore because I do like you more than a friend, and maybe I'm just nervous to tell you that. And before he can finish that, she gives him a kiss on the lips.
Exactly. So but then she's wearing a red necklace,
mm-hmm, that her
which all of a sudden starts burning on Clark. So this is obviously red kryptonite.
Mm-hmm.
And her grandfather, he finds out her grandfather made the necklace for her out of stones he found in the field. She just started wearing it because she misses him. Clark says, I don't think it's an ordinary necklace. She says, Clark, what is it? As she gets this red field around her.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's interesting that he didn't lose his inhibitions yet or anything like that.
Right. At least that we know of.
Yeah.
But now...
Well, the funny thing is, I'm sitting here reading this and it just dawned on me. You realize... This is not our current Superman that is she's talking to. This is that new 52 Superman.
Well, wait.
Because remember, in Rebirth, right as Rebirth was starting, the new 52 Superman died, and ours took his place, because ours was from a different world.
But everything that happened, technically, isn't that our Clark Kent now,
it's kind of melded together.
Yeah, I was going to say, from what we've seen, people's memories and everything in time seem to do like the Flashpoint thing, or
with the Mixus Pitlick stuff,
right?
Yeah,
it seemed like everything that we did know was separated did come together. It's like everybody's brain swapped and remembered everything. It's like, yeah, that's the same one. So technically, that is the same one,
yeah,
mixed in with the new 52 Clark.
Okay, well, then we kick to modern times.
Don't you love time travel?
Yeah, but get to modern times, and Lex is still trying to stop the Superwoman and this other guy. He's talking about red kryptonite. It's not the source of your power, Lana. It's only your agent of change, because you're with Red Sun, which is the name of this other character. The Red K monster. That's the only reason that you're, as the dude smashes him into the ground.
Yeah, and then also it's the guy that's using the red or having this red kryptonite come off of him is the bad boy that she had a crush on in high school.
Because later on, or a couple panels down, he says, "Amos Ames, I've been watching you."
Mm-hmm.
So,
but as a human, he says you cannot control the red K. And then this is where Amos tells him, "Who said I was still human?" I will hopefully get a backstory of why he's not still human anymore. What does he mean by that? But as all this is going on, then Lana comes in and starts blasting Lex again, saying she at one time was a lost teenager like many people. She didn't know how to control herself and or anything but herself. But now she's found the necklace that her grandpa gave her, and after he died, she felt powerful again once she put it on. And then this is where they say basically going over how much power they have, all the freedom they're having. Lex is like, well, you two are fools yourself, and starts blasting guy with his suit. Then he's put out of commission, looks like right now, knocked out. And Lex wants Lana to stop this madness, but she says, yeah, she's going to stop it, all right. She says, enough. And before she can attack Lex, someone hits her and knocks her into a building. It's Supergirl.
And you see from out of the panel, you see, I got your message. Someone good has been corrupted by Red K, huh? And then you find out, yeah, Supergirl has come to help Lex.
And the next one will be Clash of the Superwomen.
This is going to be an interesting one.
Yeah.
So, but that was Superwoman. I put this on the list mainly because, like I said, it was interesting to see the modern version of what Superman and Lex and Lana's past is.
Yeah, I love that because when you... I think you told me before I was able to read it at the time, you were like, if you read it, it's got a little bit of callback to like Smallville. And I'm like,
It feels like Smallville some, yeah.
And then I start reading it, it really does. Now, see what they did here? I would love to see that in a movie.
Yeah.
Like, even if they make Man of Steel 2, show us somewhere. Well, I guess they can't really anymore because Lex and Clark didn't know each other.
Yeah.
But it would have been nice to see that. Just see them from high school. Like, I remember you were like a smart butt in high school and you're
well,
still.
Well, no, actually, they. I don't know.
Yeah, see, I thought about them. Like, I guess they
because
really can't do that.
Clark and. No, they did meet in the. In Batman v Superman, they met at the party and they had no idea who each other were. Well, they knew who they were, but they didn't. They hadn't met before.
Yeah. But then again, the way they write movies, they also say, yeah, you must have forgot about me in high school. So, they could do something if they wanted. They could. I wish I see this somewhere, even see a little glimpse of Lana when she gets older. I know we've seen her when she was a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
But moving on from the Superman universe, let's get into some Green Lanterns.
Yeah, Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps number 26. And this may or may not tie
in
the middle
or may
a little
not.
Bit. I'm not sure if it does or doesn't, because... it starts off talking about metal and forging and...
From the gods or something like that.
Echoing throughout the multiverse. And then you also get about some stuff about deep inside old Genesis, which anybody who remembers the fourth world stuff remembers new Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
So you have... hang on. What am I doing here?
Keyboard
doesn't...
My computer
doing strange things.
Yeah,
that's fine.
It has a mind of its own.
Now, so it says, somewhere in the vast unknown reaches of existence, metal rings against metal, shaping, forging, reverberations echo throughout the multiverse, and deep inside a world called Old Genesis, metal awakens. And this last panel on the first page actually shows four characters. Each has a different color, but they actually look almost like characters out of Tron.
Yeah, they do. With the different colors glowing and everything. Now, is this guy having a vision of all this?
Yes.
Or a dream, whatever, vision, dream.
Now, I've not been reading Lantern for that long, but you ever heard of the Light Monks?
No, I have not.
This looks like he is a Green Lantern with the ring, but he's also like a monk. It's almost like a religious experience for him.
Mm-hmm.
But he wakes up and screaming metal. He's a light monk, and the light is his way. The visions, now he's having visions. What we saw in the first set of pages was, a vision he was given. And he says nearly every night sleep is plagued with these visions. It's, as the archmonk taught him at seminary, you cannot hide from prophecy. All your life, you've waited for a vision to earn the last markings. Now that he's got it, he's not happy about this. And then we show that they're on Mogo again, and he has to warn the others of what's coming. Then we get to the command center with Salak and John Stewart just checking to see, hey, what's going on? It's first thing in the morning. Talking about, and Salak gives basically a report on the Corps, where everybody's at, and talking about how he had sent Hal Jordan and Kyle Rayner to oversee some treaty negotiations. And they're actually on their way back. So John Stewart says, no, have Hal, instead of coming back, have Hal Jordan, Hal and Kyle patrol the region they're in just in case anything pops up with all this treaty stuff. So then you see that Guy Gardner is chilling there saying, hey, wait, Johnny, I'm one of your best lanterns. Why am I sitting here riding the pine not doing anything? And John tells him straight up, no, I need you here just in case something does happen. You're the one I trust most to watch my back.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Johnny, you made me play like this, the Green Lantern versus Sinestro team up. This is where he basically tells him, because he knows his old partner is now back with Sinestro Corps, he doesn't have one right now. So until that happens, they're going to have to figure out what he can do to be the best right now. And that's guarding his back, mm-hmm. John's back.
Actually, my wife Vicky just sent me a message.
Mm-hmm.
Katie, they've just announced, I guess, officially that the Flash has cast the Blacksmith.
Oh.
That's Katie Sackhoff.
That's the one. Oh, okay. Huh.
So no, that's going to be for the Flash TV series. That's what we found out as we're recording this. So you can look her up in a minute, but we'll look her up. But the next page there, now go ahead with what you were saying about Guy Gardner.
We were saying your friend left. I don't know what happened there. Your friend left and went back to team off the Sinestro Corps. So if you feel better knowing to be close, you can be my backup. That's all you. This is also all you got to have for me for being a leader. And then this is the scans start coming up, and they pick up some sub-gravitational field in Sector 1419. And this is where you see Kyle and Hal going to.
This needs to be a poster.
Yeah, I know, right? There's so many things, to be honest, out of the Green Lantern, these comics of the Green Lanterns, a lot of panels are like, please give me that as a poster or
this
background
page
or something.
Should be a poster. It's basically, it's Kyle Rayner and
Hal Jordan.
Hal Jordan flying through subliminal space, which is basically wormholes, equivalent of wormholes that the Green Lanterns can form, so they can fly through at greater than the speed of light. But it's Hal in the front, Kyle over his shoulder, leader of the Underground Black Market. Cool. So they're basically being told and redirected to this gravitational, sub-gravitational field to go check out what this is. So they're basically just talking back and forth about data collection, why are we doing this? Or Kyle's like, well, why are we putting on data collection?
Right.
And Hal's like, hey, if that's all they have for us, then this is a good day.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't have to go put out any fires, all we got to do is go collect some data on something that's going on. That's a really good day, mm-hmm. Kyle.
And he said, normally you are this type, shut up about your feelings, but you've been express your feelings, but you've been a closed book since, well, you know, everything that happened with the Nestor Corps,
yeah.
With Sornak and everything. And this is when they basically just says, he doesn't want to talk about it, and thanks for, like, being there for me and asking, but let's not talk about it. And as they keep on going, you see, I still don't know what this guy's name is, the one that had the vision. I looked him up, he's not in here. He doesn't have, like, a wiki or anything
we'll keep
on
going.
Comic Vine.
I think it may have been in the first couple panels here.
But the guy who had the vision tries to talk to John, and he's trying to tell him there's something I have concerning me, and you need to know. And now we go back to Hal and Kyle, and now it's a different Earth that's being attacked by something, looks like. And it's actually one of the...
It could be Graf, I think.
Graf. Like I say, he's just...
He's a new character as far as I know.
I couldn't find him from everyone that was in the book. They had all the characters, but not him.
Hmm.
But as this is happening, we see something pop up as he's trying to tell John, but it's too late. One of those metal,
yeah, one of
creature
the,
god
it looks
things,
like you can
whatever.
Almost describe it as a Titan.
Yeah, he comes out.
No, that's a classic Titan, not a DC Comics Titan.
Yeah, and this is where Hal says, "Dear God, the whole system has went."
Has
rubble.
Been obliterated. I mean, there's pieces of it everywhere.
Yeah.
But you also start to hear some pinging.
Ping, 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 ping,
ping, ping, ping, ping, ping, ping. And Hal's like, wait a minute. And then Kyle's like, rubble, they're talking about no survivors, and then hear a ping, two pings. Then as you hear the pings, Hal's like, rings hot, get ready. And then
Kyle's
Hal
like,
starts
what
creating
is that?
A bunker with all these giant artillery guns.
I like how...
And Hal says, the sound... the sound, or Kyle's like, well, what's the problem?
Right.
Kyle's like, that sound.
You don't
remember?
Remember?
It's never a good thing.
Yep, and then, bloom!
You get a boom tube.
Mm-hmm, and to come through, I love his new outfit, by the way. Orion!
Orion comes flying through the boom tube.
Hal's got his ring point. I'm like, don't move, and then that's when he's like, put your ring away, Jordan, you know I'm in no mood. And he says, "There's
is
no."
Is he ever in any mood?
No, Orion's mood is always. I have a mission.
Grumpy.
I have a mission. I want my mission done. Well, he says, "It's always nice to see friends, I guess." And he says, "You know that boom tube of yours popped up out of nowhere, and it's from the New Gods. And they started a war."
Yeah, the last time a boom tube showed up, the New Gods started a war.
Yeah.
That was the Dark Side
War. Yeah.
Which I still got to get the trade for.
I still
got
to get that too. Like I said, there's some stuff on YouTube I listen to, but I need to actually read it for myself.
Yeah.
And he says, out of all the places I need,
Highfather sent me here, and the thing is, I need to know where the White Laren is, the one who knew his way around the power source. Where is that guy? We really need him. Then both of them
are
like,
which is kind of amusing.
Well, see, here's the problem. He's like, who's this new kid? He says, oh, that's Kyle, the former White Laren. So he's out of touch with that source now.
Yeah, he doesn't know much about the source anymore.
You know, and he's like, my bad. Orion's like, this is just beautiful. Well,
and as he says that, out of nowhere, you get two Omega beams fly through the air and slam right into Orion. Which is interesting because anybody who knows Omega beams, the only time I have ever seen Omega beams was Darkseid firing them.
And I'm and they came through a boob tube, by the way, and closed.
That's what it looks like.
So I'm pretty sure Deathstroke, I don't know why I said Deathstroke. Darkseid was looking like, where's he at? Ding, ding, ding. Boom tube.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. Eyeball blast. Go by Omega Beam you. And he hit him because, you know, he doesn't miss.
Well, yeah, the Omega Beams go
travel
around
with you. Well, now that he's hurt, he's basically bleeding out in space. He calls John up, and John's saying there's a...
John and Select figure out that they're the closest world there too is Select's world.
Right.
So they're like, get him there. We'll have help waiting for you. And of course, there is a doctor sitting there waiting for them.
And I like how they do explain the only reason they just did... Basically, we can't send Orion back through a boom tube because that's going to kill him because that traveling, he's injured
what
too
it is,
far.
His injuries are too far that if he goes through subluminal space, if he got anything else other than standard travel, it's going to actually do
kill
more
him.
Damage to him.
Or, yeah. Well, when they get there.
And I don't know. Maybe they just don't realize that being the son of Darkseid, I don't think it's going to kill him.
Kill him, yeah.
It's going to take a whole lot more than that to kill this
guy. If I'm wrong, how many times have Superman and the Justice League sent Darkseid back bleeding and battered to...
Yeah.
Apocalypse, and what happens? He comes right back.
There's a reason they're called the New Gods.
Exactly. Well, they do take care of him. He is healed up in no time because he is Orion. They get him back. He was flatlining for a hot second, but they did the discharge, and he's back.
Yeah, they zapped him, and he came back.
And he says, name of Highfather! First when he wakes up, and they're like, hey, man, relax.
What did you guys do? And they're all excited. He's like, you brought me to a city? Wait a minute.
Bing, 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 bing.
This is not a good idea.
Bing, 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 bing. And that's all you guys keep hearing is the ping again.
Yeah.
And he says, well, you need to take some rest and stay off your feet and stuff. And once they keep hearing that ping, Orion tells them there's no time for that.
There's no time for rest. Boom. And all of a sudden you get this giant metal monster coming through who says the status of New God designation Orion is alive. Commence culling.
And it's time to go to work, kiddies. And now you have Hal Jordan, Kyle Rayner, and Orion all ready to fight this new being of whatever it is.
And the next issue is called Heavy Metal, which is, it's interesting because now it's like they're tying the New Gods into the metal storyline, possibly.
Possibly, and the reason why I said this...
And there's a lot of, with Kirby going right now, you notice there's a lot of New Gods stuff happening in the titles right now. It's out of nowhere, the New Gods dropped everywhere.
And I was also saying, with the guy having his visions, the alien, I understand these are different type of metal, whatever they are, but... If you guys remember, this was making me think this is connected to the Dark Knight metal. Remember how Jordan was sent by the gods to seek out this metal on Earth?
Mm-hmm.
Could this all be related somehow?
Yeah. So, but hang on just a second. Let me check.
Okay.
Next up, we're going to actually, speaking of New Gods, we're going to get into Mr. Miracle number one. This is the first issue of a 12-part miniseries. That's bringing, once again, more New Gods back into the timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a straight-up New God story. You get, once we get through here, you'll see there's Highfather's in here, Light Ray's in here, Barda's in here,
Orion's
back in
here.
Everybody's in this book. So you get the opening. Now, this was a little weird to read, and the art style's a little weird on this one,
too. Yeah, it was
a little
confusing for me here. I love the art style. The art style was trippy.
Exactly.
The best way to put it, like someone knocked a few boos back and was like, I'm going to draw a comic book.
Yeah, well, also what it is the art style in here is very much old-school four-color process.
Ah, okay.
That's what all the dots and stuff are.
That's
old-school, the way they used to do with newsprint and stuff.
Dude, that's great. And also, guys, if you get, like, the slight glare from anywhere in your house and you move a little bit with it, it just feels like it makes the panel go in perfectly. You see what I'm talking about? It works with this type of style of art.
Well, we see Mr. Miracle sitting in a bathroom on the floor, bleeding from his wrists.
Mm-hmm, with a razor blade right
now,
by his gloves.
Anybody who doesn't know, Mr. Miracle is called Mr. Miracle because he is the universe and the galaxy's greatest, or the multiverse's greatest escape artist.
Well, I was going to say the best way. We had Houdini on Earth, right?
Yeah.
Now, picture Houdini in the galaxy.
Makes, yeah, he makes
That's
Houdini
Mr. Miracle.
Look like Orko from He-Man.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, the dude, like I said, Houdini to us in America here...
that was picture this is Houdini in the galaxy.
Exactly.
Any planet you can think of, he's going to escape something he's known for. Mm-hmm. He's an escape artist.
If you need a lock opened or anything like that, you call Mr. Miracle.
Exactly. That's why he was also in Dark Knight Metal. Hey, so, look at that. Another tie-in.
Huh.
What do you know?
Well, we go back into his past, and at some point, I believe this was him.
Yeah, this was him.
The men who challenged him and death himself. Now you got to think he's been put through all of this. He can get through anything. There's one thing he doesn't know if he can escape. He's mm-hmm. going to escape anything.
Yeah, he's
well. Question here in this book, they're posing to start with, is the man who can escape everything, can he escape death?
Right.
Which is what that opening panel is. Will he survive a brush with death?
Do you want to tell him this little joke right here?
Huh? Well, I don't know if it's a joke. This may actually have happened.
Well, it seemed like it was Mr. Miracle as a child in class, and the teacher says to the whole class, draw whatever you want. When they're done, the teacher asks them what they have drawn, and the children say dinosaurs, hearts, superheroes, anything. It doesn't matter. Then one child says, I drew God. So a teacher says, that's very nice, but no one knows what God looks like. And then the child says, without second hesitation, yeah, until now. I don't know why I like that. I'm like, what do you mean by that?
But
that
then
can
John
be interpreted in so many different ways.
Yeah. But then Scott wakes up in an ambulance on his way to the hospital. And you get a waiting room of Barda sitting in the waiting room. And then you see a black panel. Now, this is interesting because you get 9 panels on a page spaced evenly. And the next panel just says Darkseid is on a black background.
Mm-hmm.
Which actually, if anybody who's been reading Deathstroke, it's very similar to the way they do the title cards in Deathstroke.
Yeah, so, exactly, yeah.
Then you get the panel of Scott in the hospital bed with his hands all taped up. And Bart is sitting here crying. Him sitting there... can you stretch the chair into a bed if you do it? Like, telling him everything that can happen. Then you see Scott looks up on the screen and sees Mr. Miracle on TV saying, I can always escape. And he says, something's wrong with it. I'll ask the nurse with the bed, I believe. So Barda, I think, is still talking to him or someone. Is that Barda?
That's Barda.
Okay. Well, that's her there also, which is interesting.
Oh, wait.
That's not.
Hold on.
So someone else is in there with him. It's not Barda.
Hmm.
Or maybe it is.
See, now the way I was interpreting this, that's somewhere else completely. That's not even in the hospital.
Oh, okay.
I mean, look at the background.
Okay. I thought that was the waiting room, but...
That's why. Because this book is trippy, guys. This book has your mind... You really can't tell what's going on yet.
Well, then you basically get him released from the hospital. A bunch of reporters asking him, did you try to commit suicide? What's the problem? Or what is going on? And then you get to his house, and someone's cleaning the floor in the bathroom now, and you get a picture or a poster from Mr. Miracle. There's messages from so many people, the entire Justice League. Clark was outside his window last night. I think I forgot my helmet at the hospital, he says.
Oh.
Who are you looking up?
Remember Darkseid is?
Yeah.
This is a character called Glorious Godfrey?
Yeah. That's Godfrey, G. Gordon Godfrey. He's actually in the book here.
Okay. I'm wondering if he has anything to do with all this.
Godfrey is basically the propaganda guy.
Right. I wonder if he's getting inside the head.
So,
sorry, just a little thought.
And then you catch Scott and Barda chilling on the couch, and you get another Darkseid is, and then a boom tube opens. And Orion steps out. And Orion's telling him, Scott Free, stand. Standing, and then he gets knocked down, and Orion tells him, stand up again. And you find out, Barda's like, wait, what are you doing? And Orion's like, I'm teaching him. He's like, teaching you? What do you think who do you think you are? And he says, I'm Orion, son of Darkseid. She says, no, you're the Orion, the son of Highfather, a stray puppy raised on the fluffed pillows of New Genesis. Scott and I didn't have any privilege of pillows. We were raised on Apocalypse, in the pits, in the fire, and we know... Only Granny can teach.
Granny goodness, the best grandma in the world.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Then Orion's like, fine, Mother Box, take me home.
He tried.
Exactly. And then you get another Darkseid is, and Scott and Barda are basically talking back and forth. And then Scott looks up and says, wait a minute, your eyes. She's like, what? And he says, they're not blue. They were always blue. Now they're brown. And of course, she says, "Don't be crazy. My eyes have always been brown."
How hard did Orion hit you?
Yeah. Then you get Darkseid is, and then you get Mr. Miracle doing a doing an escape on stage, on the G. Gordon Godfrey show.
Yes, and this is where we get a little bit more inside of what's...
Yeah, it's a lot more blurred thing. It's almost like the art in this almost is like if you put on 3D glasses, it would be 3D.
Right.
Which I may have to try when I go home.
That's not a bad idea.
So, but they're talking about what it went through. And then, wait, where we go? I don't know any right words. Basically talking about everything he's been through and him escaping things. Now we're here. We're all here. Maybe, Mr. Miracle, you'd like to take a moment to explain why you tried to kill yourself. And if you want to, whatever you want to do. He's like, no, I do want to. It's important to people for you to know, Godfrey. I want everyone to know what happened. It wasn't actually that important. It was a trick. I've been doing a lot of escapes lately, a bunch of them, and I was trying to do harder ones, like the hardest ones I've ever done, and everything was getting really easy, boring for me and the audience. So I was thinking, how can I be better? You know, what can't I escape from? What shouldn't I escape from? And what doesn't anyone escape from? And it is death. No one ever escapes from death. So I killed myself.
Dark side is coming.
Mm-hmm. So he says, I killed myself. And then all of a sudden, the whole image blur zaps out.
Yeah, and the way it looks, like he's even glitching out himself.
Mm-hmm.
But we got another dark side coming two times. And then it says, when I woke up, my lovely wife, Barbara, was there in the hospital. She found me in an apartment. I guess she took it to me. She took me to the hospital. And so that's that was really all. Dark side is coming. Another one.
Uh-huh.
Now, then we get Godfrey saying, great, just great stuff. Amazing stuff, really. But it, like I said, it's all like this. Everything's glitching out, guys. The screen's glitching. And it says, I guess that doesn't stand the one question unanswered. It does, doesn't it? Did you actually really escape? I mean death, right? Did you escape death, Mr. Miracle? Pauses. And he's like, what? I'm sorry for apologies.
And they cut away to commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And then you switch to the beach. And you
now, is this bar on the beach, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay.
You get Scott walking along the beach with Highfather. And Highfather is telling him, I'm sorry it took so long to get here. And Barta is just tanning out there on the beach. And he's like, we find out that there's a crisis on New Genesis that it has arisen. One unlike anything we've ever known. And Scott asks him, is it Darkseid, the anti-life equation? Well, after many bloody failures, I have finally placed a spy inside of Darkseid's inner circle, according to Highfather. This man tragically reports that the damage has been done. Darkseid now has his equation. Oberon is in this also.
Right.
Yes. It's like, wait a minute, he's already got it? And then Highfather explains that with the equation, Darkseid will be able to change reality, to change men's minds. This is why I can't stay any longer, even though I know you need help. I would like to stay longer. However, Darkseid, and then Scott's like, yes, go. You have stuff to do. Then we switch to Oberon and Scott back onto the studio set. And Scott having, they had gotten a pair of Thanagarian handcuffs, or prison guard handcuffs from a prison guard. And they say they're pretty much impossible to get out of. And Scott basically breaks out of them in like 10 seconds. And so Oberon is going to actually start working on making them harder to get out of. That's when Barta comes in and apologizes, but she needs to know she doesn't like him being alone in the studio. And Scott tells her, but I wasn't alone. Oberon's here with me. He had some handcuffs. And she's like, Oberon? Scott, are you okay? He says, yeah, I got him right off. No problem. Oberon's actually adjusting them right now. And she reminds him, but Scott, Oberon, you know, but Oberon is... Scott, Oberon, you know... Listen to me. In the next page, you find remember the cancer in the cigar? Oberon died last month. So he's seeing things now. And then you're getting a lot more of Darkseid is every other panel. Scott, you were there. You actually were the one that had to make the decision to shut off the machines. And he's like, no, I don't know. He's here. He's right in this room. He's here telling me a story. He's here with me. And then you're getting Darkseid is every other panel. Mm-hmm. You're starting to hear some pings now in the panels. And he looks down and says, and finds Mother Box. And then the box tells him, Scott, this is Orion. There's no time. Highfather is dead. Darkseid's work. Darkseid's power is growing. I have taken control of the forces on New Genesis. We're organizing a resistance. You and Barda are required to come home. So it's time to go fight Darkseid. Looks like, according to this, Highfather's dead.
Yeah. Everyone that he cared about that were older or dead, seemed like.
Exactly. Well, they've changed their costumes. You get a whole page, and it just says Darkseid is in the middle. And then they're basically the next page is like, you know what? Scott says something's wrong as they're leaving through the boom tube. And as they're going through, it's like everything's wrong. Everything, according to Scott. There's something wrong with something with me. And she says, but Scott, there's no time for this. We have to get across. We have to get back to New Genesis. You're the son of Highfather. The son. This is, we were wrong. Kyle Back, remember you said last time, was Highfather's son? No. Scott was the one that was traded to Apocalypse.
Was he?
Yeah. I believe so. I got to double check.
Oh,
but that's why they said he's Highfather's son.
Oh, okay.
But he grew up on Apocalypse, just they right. said.
Okay. Okay. So, I'm going to look into this a little more as we're going here.
As I think, she's in, he's like, well, I can't escape this. And she the smacks him down. He says, stand.
Oh, yep, you're right. You're right.
And so the act goes on, and they end up leaving. But he's having issues. There's something wrong with this, or with him, he says. And that's the end of the issue as they're leaving to go to New Genesis.
And just to put you guys in here, I have this wrong. Was I right? said this last week. You're right.
Okay.
Description says, the son of Highfather, Scott Free, that's name's Free, well, just recall that, was traded as an infant for Darkseid, a child of Orion, to end the war between the new gods of Apocalypse and New Genesis.
So, Kalibak and Orion are brothers.
Yes.
The other book we have is, we're just going to do a quick overview of this. This is the new
boy. Wait. Kalibak Orion.
Kalibak is the son of Darkseid.
Right.
Orion is the son of Darkseid, raised on a Genesis.
There we go.
So they are both brothers. They are brothers.
There we go.
But we get, now we said we're going to cover these, the six, was it, I believe it's six Jack Kirby specials. What's going on?
My computer was doing some weird stuff. I've been I don't use a touch screen too much to go back. I've been doing that this whole time recording. Now it's just like a little iffy. But
we're going to pull up on the docs. This week's Newsboy is the Newsboy Legion and the Boy Commando special, which was a Jack Kirby special. Now, this one's a little, like I said, for both of us, it really didn't.
Yeah, catch this was for a us hard one to get through.
Because it's not our type of story. And it's basically about.
This one
the
just
Newsboy
kinda
Legion is.
Give a little detail.
Teen kids on the streets of New York, I believe.
In the 1940s.
In the 40s, basically working as a gang to. Stop propaganda and stuff, it looks like. I didn't read this back then.
I didn't either.
Boy Commandos looks like they're four teenagers that are working over on the front lines,
mm-hmm.
and this one in Paris, and fighting against the Axis there. So we get pictures of them, and like I said, this was weird for us to get through. It has a lot of stuff. This jumps around the world a lot. We start off in Paris.
Oh,
what?
It says a gang of kids who worked with Guardian and were later involved in Project Cadmus.
Ah, okay. Wait. I remember that in the 90s, the Project Cadmus had a group of kids working that was inside of it.
Hmm, okay.
If you go back to the old Guardian stories in the 80s and 90s, they were there.
Oh, okay. And they also made a little cameo appearance in the Justice League Unlimited. So I'm going to Google some pictures of that and see if
we'll look up the Boy Commandos, too.
Yeah.
And see what they do. But we find them basically fighting against Hitler and stuff in the war, and they find something's going on and what's going on with the story they're doing leads them back to into the London. Then you get back to New York, and like I said, this was confusing for us because I just don't know any of these stories or characters. Let's see. I'm trying to think what else is there to bring up on this book.
Because, I mean, unless we went panel for panel.
Yeah, like we do for a lot of the other ones. But the Boy Commandos, or the Newsboy Legion, is also trying to break a story of something of the Axis is doing in New York City. And they're following their clues. Now we get to London, back to the Boy Commandos, following the clues of what the Axis is doing. And, really, like I said, this just didn't hit for me.
Same here. And they're just doing their mission just basically on the streets of mm-hmm. London. And they're just
back and forth. Eventually, we find out that there's a group in America of American Nazis, basically, or the American mm-hmm. Socialist Party, that's actually wanting to And it's weird because what it is there, the whole idea of this guy is looking at, you know what, Germany is not the villain here.
Right.
Russia is the villain in communism.
And as we said, they're basically here to stop all the propaganda.
Uh-huh. But they end up in a stage show with this Patriot guy wearing a suit that is actually made out of stuff that looks like it was stolen from the Axis. And the message this guy's putting on is that the war has been going on for too long, and we've been fighting the wrong enemy this whole time. It's time to rescue the world from Bolshevism and godless communism. And then I'm here on behalf of real Americans, the men who run Lord Motors, Continental Telephone and Telegraph, Danone Chemical, and so many others, patriots with a true commitment to Western civilization. We were dragged into this war by the cosmopolitans and international bankers, and at this point the kids are starting to try to take him down, because he says, not to mention the spiritually bankrupt English, the morally bankrupt French, the day of reckoning is upon us. It's time for true Americans, the offspring of those pioneers who wrested this land from savages, who must make peace with our Aryan brothers and save the world from the subhuman mongrels already poisoning our great nation. At this point, all of the boys go to take him down as he's throwing his different propaganda. Once they take him down, they're given the key to the city.
And I also found out about the Boy Commandos.
Okay.
The Boy Commandos is a group of orphan boys led by Rip Carter who fought the freedom during the World War II.
Okay. Well, we get also in the back of this, you get a Jack Kirby story, which is basically the Newsboy Legion, and it's basically them working with Jim Harper, Officer Jim Harper, who is Guardian, mm-hmm. on a case. And actually they start their own comic strip in this one.
And
And it's an interesting little story, but
and that's where they did work with Guardian in the old
mm-hmm. That's the way it was back in the Golden Age, yeah. And then even farther into modern time, mm-hmm. in the modern age also. So it's an interesting story. It's a fun read a little bit. I mean, it's like I said, it's not something that caught for us, but yeah. Give it a try. You never know.
Yeah.
I know next week's is actually the original Sandman. It's a story about the original World War II Sandman.
Yeah.
And the Golden Age Sandman.
That's definitely going to be a callback.
Oh, yeah. And that's more back into our bread and butter, basically, because we're superhero fans. I mean, that's the way
it is. Yeah, I mean, that's the way. Yeah. I mean, I can read a comic book from, like, the 1940s, as long as there's a superhero and I have some type of connection.
Yeah.
Without that, I'm kind of like, I can't really get into this.
So, but that leaves us only one thing left to do. And that sound can only mean one thing. It's time for us to take our weekly trip to the comic shop.
Yeah.
This week's comic shop pull list is for August 23rd, 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And that song was actually done by the Shazbots. They bring you the comic shop every week.
Yes.
Go check them out on Facebook and Instagram. And also go to theshazbots.com. Let them know that, Facebook and iTunes. Let them know the DC Superpowers podcast sent you. Now, we actually have 11 comics on this, in this week's pull list. And I believe it was 11 and then one of the Jack Kirby specials.
Yep. And let me make sure. Well, I can't really go back here. I want to make sure that was Jack Kirby special. But yes, the first one on our list for the reviews, not reviews. Can I words today?
Yeah.
The Action Comics 986 is going to be the first one for our pull list. And this one is The Eve of Destruction, Part 2. The humanities of Earth put even Superman's trust to the test as he and Lex Luthor begin to see a pattern emerging that points to Mr. Oz and his agents. When Lex confronts Mr. Oz alone, one walks away, changed forever.
Interesting. Well, we knew the story of Mr. Oz is coming soon.
Mm-hmm. And then next on our list...
Well, hang on. Who was the artist on that?
Yeah, that. Gilman March, and written by Rob Williams.
Okay. Well, the and the last issue of Action was interesting, but it didn't have a whole lot of stuff going on. It was Superman and Lex Luthor working together. So
well, this one seems like it's diving in more deep into the lore of everything that's happened with Rebirth.
Yeah. Well, the next one we're doing is Batgirl number 14. And this is Summer of Lies, Part 1. Batgirl and Nightwing's feelings for each other have always run deep. But is their bond built on more than Bat family loyalty and a long-ago childhood crush? When an old villain comes back into Bab's life, she and Dick will have to reopen painful wounds and remember a time they'd hoped would remain forgotten. This is an event no super Batgirl or Nightwing fan will want to miss. Art's done by Christian Wildgoose and written by Hope Larson.
And the next one on our list is Batman Beyond, issue number 11, Rise of the Demon finale. As past and present collide, Bruce Wayne witnesses the culmination of his legacy. In a shocking twist, the demon is not Ra's al Ghul. Can his successor be persuaded to stop his plans for the worldwide destruction? Will Terry be able to overcome the destructive influence of the new Batman costume and the hold on his soul? High up on its Tibetan mountain, the answers will be revealed. And the art is done by Bernard Chang and written by Dan Jurgens.
Okay.
Yeah, having his two sons battle each other is very interesting here.
It was going on
in Batman Beyond.
Well, maybe we'll also find out why Damian never took up the mantle of Batman.
Yeah, maybe
why did he choose? Why did he choose to become to go take up the mantle of the demon instead?
You know, I got the answer for you.
Hmm?
He was never in the Batman anime series. That's why he's mad.
Yeah, that's it. Well, the next one we got up for this week is Blue Beetle, number 12, guest starring Batman. Jaime Reyes may be back in his Blue Beetle armor, but he's still a relative novice at the superhero game. And that's raised the attention of someone who's been doing this for a long time. See what happens when the Cape Crusader swings over to El Paso to provide some schooling. Art done by Scott Collins, and it's written by J.M. DeMatteis and Keith Geffen.
Awesome, awesome. The next one we have is Detective Comics, issue number 63. Longer Chains, Part 1. Having exiled herself from Batman's world, Spoiler has nearly destroyed herself trying to expose the corruption of Gotham City's vigilantes. Fortunately for her, help has arrived, but unfortunately for the city, it's in the form of mysterious anarchy. Is he truly on the side of the people, or is he as dangerous, or is he a deranged lunatic?
A dangerous lunatic.
Or dangerous lunatic. I'm going to call him deranged. R is done by Carmine Carnino and written by James T. Tinian IV.
Now, Detective is one we didn't cover for this week, but this past Detective answered a question we've been waiting for a couple of months now.
Yeah.
Was it right after the Button storyline in Batman?
I would say it was before. It was.
No, it was right after the Button because that was out of nowhere. Like, wait a minute. How does he know that Tim Drake is alive?
Oh, you mean the reveal?
Yeah, the reveal that Tim Drake was alive.
I'm like, no, that was me.
No. It was right after the Button in Batman. Well, now Detective is finally catching up to that because in this one, when they beat Escalion. Escalion tells Batman at the very end, before he's defeated, that Tim Drake is alive.
He is alive.
So this is how, a couple of months ago in Batman, he knows that Tim Drake's alive.
Mm-hmm. Like we said, they're a little off
time-wise. Yeah, they're off on time-wise, but it's interesting how this is bringing them together.
Also, I was going to say, here in this description, is he truly on the side of people, or is he a dangerous lunatic, or deranged lunatic?
Well, remember, this is Anarchy, we've seen on, was it Arrow?
It was on Arrow. He's been in the video games, he's been on the TV, the animated series, I think, in at least one appearance. He's been a couple places, but when they say he's on the side of the people, he's always been on the side of the people. He's a crazy conspiracist, but the ones that want to follow him, he's on the side of the people, I think.
Yeah, well, he's on what he thinks is the side of the people.
Yeah, in his mind, he is on the side of the people, so
exactly.
I have no problem with him. Just don't blow up my city. Oh, wait. That's me.
Yeah, it's your turn.
Oh, no, it's your turn.
You sure?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're the detective. Okay.
I was like, wait a minute.
It don't matter.
It doesn't, but hey.
The Flash number 29 is the next book we have. It's Negative Part 2. What's a rogue to do when the Flash goes bad? Get worse? Or get worse? Operating from behind bars in Iron Heights, the incarcerated rogues graduate from costumed crooks to true kingpins of crime, unleashing the new villain known as Shrapnel upon the chaotic and unprotected streets of Central City. This is art done by Carmine DiGiannomenico. Yeah. And Joshua Williams is the writer.
I've just been cracking up this whole time because that first line, what's the rogue to do? All I could think about, what's the rogue to do when the Flash runs wild on you? That's all I could keep thinking in my head. I just keep laughing. I'm sorry. I think they did that on purpose. But next, what we got here, guys, on our list is Hal Jordan Green Lantern Corps, issue number 27. Fall of the Gods, part 2. Hal Jordan and Kyle Rayner face off against the God Killers as they try to protect an injured Orion from certain death. As the battle turns against the Corps, will they have to sacrifice the new god to save the entire sector of space? Art is done by Jordi
Tarragona
and Rafia Sandoval. Written by Robert Venditti.
Okay. Then we get Harley Quinn number 26. Which is interesting. At the end of Harley Quinn number 25, you get we get Catwoman and Poison Ivy back working with Harley again.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting because isn't that Gotham City Sirens?
Yes.
Which we're looking at a book coming, or a movie coming out soon.
Hopefully. Well, was that actually in the pull list from Comic-Con? Not the pull list, but was that in the titles?
The list? I don't know. I don't remember. It's coming.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, at least. I think that one's in... Oh, that's right. David Ayer left from the director's chair, so right now we don't know when we're getting it.
Or
who's directing it. So at some point, hopefully we do still get the movie.
Yeah. Well, next up, we get... Harley Quinn number 26, Mean Streets. Harley's been doing her best to hold her corner of New York City together, but the mayor's been doing his best to tip the whole town into corruption. Harley's gonna have to hammer some sense into this guy once and for all. And in Harley Loves the Joker part 10, the Joker's vendetta against the thief who's been scalping all of his prime jobs threatens to get everyone killed, and I believe that's actually the finale of Joker Loves Harley.
Oh man, that's been going on for a while.
Yeah.
Well, next we have the Hellblazer. I feel like we both have like some of our favorite books. Mm-hmm. Going on. The Hellblazer issue number 13. That's an unlucky number for a Constantine.
Yeah, that's good. They better be doing something special in this one.
They are, because from what it sounds like, the Spirit Hunter part 1. Home from Paris, John gets in a drunken argument, has a terrible dream about a dead teenager, and then finds the corpse. Did someone use his imagination as a weapon, or has his distaste for humanity made him a murderer? The art is done by Jesus Marino and written by Tim Seeley.
Okay. Well, next up, we get Suicide Squad number 24. And once again, didn't they kill Boomerang again? No, they left him. It was Rick Flagg.
And I would say they left him for dead recently.
Yeah.
But they didn't say if he died or not.
They're always trying to kill him or leave him for dead or something.
I mean, they don't... He's the worst teammate possible. He's literally the worst teammate to work with, but I love the dude.
Well, you get Kill Your Darlings Part 4. This is it. The moment Suicide Squad has been building to since the start of Rebirth. The international Suicide Squads descend upon metahuman populations around the world at Amanda Waller's command. As the people's astonishing endgame is laid bare, only the original Task Force X's most dysfunctional members are left to save the world from their own dark imitators. Art done by Augustin Padilla, and it's written by Rob Williams. And we have one title left for Rebirth and one honorable mention.
Last one for Rebirth is Teen Titans issue number 11, Blood of Manta Part 3. Everything comes crashing down when Black Manta reveals his son's true origins, and the shock is almost too much for Jackson to bear. Meanwhile, the Teen Titans have tracked Black Manta down, but is it too little too late? Will the Teen Titans save their new friend or make him a new enemy? The art is done by Kyle Pham and written by Benjamin Percy.
Okay. And then the honorable mention is the next of the Jack Kirby 100th Anniversary Specials, and this is the Manhunter Special number 1. Big game hunter and private detective Paul Kirk has marshaled his skills to fight crime as the masked vigilante known as Manhunter. But now crime has reached epidemic proportions that may push him to the limits and draw the attention of the Golden Age heroes Sandman and Sandy. Plus, a short story featuring Edric and the Demon by writer Sam Humphries and artist Klaus Janson, and a Golden Age reprint.
My ears peaked when I heard
as soon as you
Edric
heard
again,
Edric,
I was like,
you're
what?
Like, well, the art is done by Nicholas Bradshaw with backup art by Klaus Janson, and backup was written by Sam Humphries, and the main story was Dan DiDio and Keith Giffen. And interesting, if you look, the cover was done by Bruce Timm.
Yeah, the thing is, you can't really tell. It looks a lot like Jack Kirby.
Mm-hmm.
But that does it for our pool list.
Yeah, that does it for the show, I believe. And that makes another great end of a fantastic show. And DC's just Rebirth keeps hitting on all cylinders. The Jack Kirby specials, other than the, like I said, the Newsboys Legion and the Boy Commandos, just didn't hit for me and you.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people that like that type of book.
Yeah, and I'm not saying it's a bad book. Just,
no, it's not a bad book.
It just was hard for us to get into because we're used to having our superheroes in there.
We're superhero guys.
Yeah.
So, but
that's why we're Junior Justice Leaguers, you know?
Exactly. Now, you guys, if you actually read Newsboys Legion and Boy Commandos, let us know what you thought of the book, too.
Oh, yeah, let us know. Give us your thoughts on it. Also, before we do get off the full subject of these Jack Kirby books, the next one coming out for the week after the Manhunters is a Darkseid special.
Yes.
So keep your eyes peeled for that.
So, Vernon, why don't you let everybody know how they can get a hold of us so they can tell us what they thought?
For our social media, guys, you can reach us, contact us, or just send us a tweet, a DM in our message box for Instagram, or just give us a comment on Facebook. On Facebook, we are DC Superpowers Podcast, same for Instagram, but on Twitter, we are at Superpowers DC. And for me, I am Howlin' Out Wolf on Instagram, V Yellow on Twitter, and Vern McWayne Moore on Facebook.
And for me, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at GW1Ken. On Facebook, I'm just Ken Rose. You can also find the show at the DC Superpowers Podcast at gmail.com. You can also find us on the Tangent Bound and Weeby Geeks Networks at tangentboundnetwork.com and weebygeekspc.com. And other than that, Vernon, thank you for hanging out with me.
No problem at all, dude.
And super... Super Friends. Vernon, we'll see you next week. And Super Friends, we'll see you next week, too.
Take care.